absurdo.
As you all are familiar with the Ramban's klal of the Maaseh Avot Siman HaBanim, a klal that the Ramban claims applies throughout the Torah, this idea, the notion of Maaseh Avot Siman HaBanim, applies to all of the Avos, to Abraham, to Yitzhak, and to Yaakov. The Ramban, in the beginning of this week's Parsha, Vayishlach, the Ramban has a very striking comment where he notes that the Torah tells us at the beginning of Vayishlach, if you look at the Pesukim, you see that Yaakov sent Malachim to Esav, and the idea, of course, was to, as we know, there was a rather substantial period of time where Yaakov and Esav were not in contact with each other for a period of 20 years. Yaakov went his way, and Esav went his way, and everything was quiet and dormant. And now suddenly the Torah tells us, Vayishach Yaakov malachim ufanav al Esav achiv, arts haseir stay adon. He sends messengers to Esav, and essentially there's an entire discussion in the beginning of Vayishach with reference to an attempt to somehow effect a rapprochement with Esav, a reconciliation, a kind of appeasement. And the Ramban comments, he quotes a Medrash of Chazal, that really Yaakov should not have done this, because Esav was dormant, was essentially quiet, quiescent, doing his own thing, Yaakov doing his own thing, and as the expression goes, let sleeping dogs lie. Don't start up with dogs, especially if they're sleeping. Ramban quotes a Medrash, the Medrash says, Machzik bozni kelev al riblo lo. That when you go ahead and you start up with a dog and you pull the dog's ears, the dog's going to yelp. And that's exactly what happened over here. So really, Yaakov Amin is taken to task by Chazal for what he did. He should not have begun this entire so-called rapprochement with Esav. But however, once he did, Ramban says, Myself, Asim Levonim. This becomes a, shall we say, a kind of guidepost for us, for all generations, how we should deal with the Ummah Sa'olam. How we should deal with the nations of the world. Ramban actually even refers to, as you know, Chazal said, beginning of Vayishlach, and this is found, that Yaakov prepared himself for three things, if you remember. What are the three things Yaakov prepared himself for? One, the Dorom, to go ahead and essentially bribe Esav, or try to buy him off, which is what we've been trying to do probably for millennia, Jews throughout Jewish history. Number two, if that didn't work, the second item, to Davin, Tefillah. And finally, if that's not going to work, of course, we have to be ready to go ahead and wage war. Wage war with Esav. Doron, Tefillah, Nechama. Those are the three tactics that Yaakov Avinu prepared himself to go ahead and in terms of his interaction with Esav. This we find in general, but this is what the Ramban calls here, Maaseh Avos Siman HaBanim. That essentially what the Avos do becomes a guidepost for their children for all generations. I mentioned that in this idea, which is a very potent idea, there are several really fundamental notions. One is that essentially the architect for Jewish history is Hashem, the Almighty, and Jewish history, to a large extent, already the blueprint for it has already been drawn. And from already the days of, shall we say, Adam HaRishon all the way till Mashiach Tzidkenu. So what do we have to do? Our function is to simply flesh in the contours of that artist's blueprint. And we can either only hasten the Achris HaYamim, or delay the Achris HaYamim, one of the two, that's up to us. We have a choice. We can either bring about the coming of Mashiach, depending on our behavior, and that's what the Rishonim always called the Pasuk, Ki Yisharim Darki Hashem, that Poshim, Yikoshlubam, Tzadikim Yelchubam, so either we can go the way of Hashem, and thereby bring about the coming of Mashiach, or Chas V'Shalom, we can do the reverse. But the blueprint of Jewish history is already set. It's already concrete and concretized. That's one idea of Maaseh Avos Siman HaBanim. Secondly, every time something happens in Tanakh, especially in the Torah, it's not a shall we say, a parochial, limited kind of experience, but it has certainly much wider dimensions. For example, Avraham Avinu going down to Mitzrayim and Sarah in the palace of Paro are not isolated kind of episodes, but rather they are a reservoir of emuna and courage that the Ramban says facilitated the observance of mitzvahs many years later, Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim. The fact that Sarah, her purity, her yichus was confirmed, was maintained, so too our yichus is going to be maintained even though we're in Mitzrayim, even though we'll be subjected to many, many goliot, many, many exiles throughout the generation. This is all part of Masi Ova Simul Abanim. And that's what the Ramban writes at the beginning of this parsha of B'Shalach. The Ramban mentions this many, many times. Even, for example, if you recall, the three wells dug by the servants of Yitzhak. The Torah has the three names that the Torah gives to these wells. One is Esek, the second is Sitna, and the third is Rechovo. So the Ramban explains, Esek, of course, refers to the fact that there's a tension between Jew and non-Jew. Sitna refers to the fact that even there might be enmity, or literally vitriol that's thrown at us, a lot of anti-Semitism. But finally, the ultimate goal is Rechovo, that we're going to return to Eretz Yisrael, and Kihirchev Hashem Lanu Faminu Baretz. So in effect, what Maaseh Avos Simul Labanim does, it tells us that the end is going to be positive. Along the way, there will be many, many ups and downs, many zigzags, many, shall we say, yiridos ve'aliyos, but at the end, it will be something that will be of a positive nature. So that's what it means, Maaseh Avos Simul Labanim. What the Torah is doing is, almost I would say, foreshadowing our historical tapestry. The Torah, in effect, is playing out the roles assigned to us, and then we have Bechira Chavshis, we can decide what we're going to do. As I said, we're going to hasten the coming of Mashiach, or God forbid, delay the coming of Mashiach. But all this is embedded in the lives of the Avos and the Imahos, and that's the Yisod of Maaseh Avos Simul Labanim. That's what we have to examine very carefully, their lives, and we have to actually see how the Torah describes them. So I just want to mention, since we're talking about Yaakov Avinu, so this is Yaakov Avinu is the classic example of Maaseh Avos Simul Labanim, and his whole life is fraught with tension and interaction and anguish and harassment. There's nothing in Yaakov Avinu's life which is smooth. Nothing is chalak. Everything is constant skirmishing and constant involvement. For example, who's Yaakov skirmishing with? The answer, of course, is who is he not skirmishing with? Yaakov skirmishes with the following people. Number one, you have to go in order. Laban. Number two, Esav. Number three, Malach Shel Esav. Anybody else? Okay, that's a medrash already. We don't have to go to medrashim. But Yaakov's life is constant skirmishing. It's so fascinating that in Chazal, they really see it very clearly, and something which is not always easy for us to somehow appreciate. Rav Soloveitchik once commented, this idea is found in a very nice sefer, Dorosh Dorosh Yosef, that sefer points out Rav Soloveitchik. It's not the Mechaber, because cited Rav Soloveitchik. So Rav Soloveitchik points out that the term Toldos is found actually with reference to Eila Toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham, Yitzchak. Toldos is found also with reference to Yishmael. Toldos is found with reference to Esav. What is the distinction between the Toldos of Esav and Yishmael on the one hand, and the Toldos of Yitzchak? The answer is the word Toldos could either be biological continuity. Toldos means generations. The way the Torah describes both, at the end of Ayishlach, the Torah has, if you look at the end of Ayishlach for a second, you'll see the empire that was built by whom? By Esav, Alufim and Melochim. The Torah has so many psukim relating to Esav, it is mind-boggling. Look at the end of Ayishlach. For one second, you'll see that the Torah has a rather lengthy description starting from Perek Lamed Vav. How many psukim the Torah devote to all the princes, all the children, all the grandchildren, all the wives, on and on and on. Isn't that amazing that the Torah would spend so much time? So the answer, said Rav Soloveitchik, is that because Esav essentially represents just biological continuity. One generation after a second, after a third. We're talking about colossal empires that are built in a very unencumbered, nonchalant kind of fashion. There's no crisis. There's no trauma. But the Toldos of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are a totally different nature. They involve, clearly, crisis, trauma, ups and downs. Even when, for example, Hashem promises Esav Haseir, right away he gets it. He gets what he promised. Mashenkin, we are promised Eretz Yisrael. How long did it take us to come back to Eretz Yisrael? Thousands of years, hundreds of years. Again, because In order for someone to be zochet to Yaakov Avinu, to his level, or to the level of the Avos, as it says, Hazorim Bedima, Berina Yitzaru. Only those who sow with tears will reap with joy. Or, to put it in a different way, we find that the Avos, their lives are full of Tzar Gidul Banim. How do you translate that? Tzar Gidul Banim, the pain that children are supposed to give their parents. Usually every family has one or two, quote-unquote, what should we call them? Yelad Tuv Yerushalayim, children who are these ideal malachim types. My family is basically that. All my siblings are like that, except for one. The one sitting in front of you. He decided that he has to give his parents a run for their money. Otherwise, what's the point? I assume many of you are also in that category. Baruch Hashem, you and I are in common in that respect. I'm just saying that. And what's amazing that in the Torah you see Esav and Yishmael, they're not affected by that problem. Their families multiply and grow. The end of Vayishlach. Mind-boggling how the Torah describes the growth of Esav. Simple, so simple. And yet when it comes to Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov Avinu is added with Esav, with Lavan, with Dina, with Yosef, one skirmish after the next. A life of skirmishing, of tension, of interaction, of drama. And by the way, myself is in the Bonin. So the Medrash says, we have Babel, we have Madai, we have Yavon, we have Edom, on and on and on. That's the story of Jewish history, writ large. And what that indicates to us is that we're going to go through difficult times, even including Arayom Hazeh. Nothing has changed. But at the end of the day, Maisa Ava Sivu Lebanim, and we know we're going to emerge from this, Baruch Hashem, certainly on top. And that's exactly what the Torah is doing, and that's exactly what the Torah actually is all about. I want to share with you a comment that I heard from my Rebbe, Nissan Alpert Zatzal, from a Medrash. There's a pasuk earlier in Chumash where the Torah describes, we actually spoke about this pasuk, if you remember, a while ago, on one of the Monday nights you're in, but when the Torah describes the birth of Yaakov and Esav, take a look at the ending of Toldos. Here's on page 58, or Perichafei, when the Torah mentions you, we spoke about there's some sort of inner struggle taking place. The word Vayisotzu, I told you, has a lot of, it's very saturated. The word that has very pregnant with all types of meanings. And then the Torah goes on to say that Rivka was told, no, you don't have two children who are, you're not suffering from schizophrenia, but rather two children in your loins, Shnei Lumim, two nations, etc., etc. And then the Torah goes on and tells us, how were they born? The first one is ruddy. Kulo kader seir vayikru shmo Esav. Yachmeichin yatsa achiv biyado ochezes ba'akev Esav vayikru shmo Yaakov. So to a large extent, you look at Medrash, you will see that the Medrash comments on this pasuk. It says v'achmeichin. After that, his brother emerged, and his hand was grasping onto the heel of Esav. And notice the expression that's used here, v'achmeichin. Now, it could have used another expression. Not v'yachrichein, but v'achar. Many times the Torah uses the expression, for example, later on, v'achar yotzah achiv asher al yodah asheni v'yikra shemo zarach. So what does v'yachrichein mean? There's a medrash. And my Rebbe interpreted this medrash like this. V'yachrichein said the medrash, Omer Abi Abohu, kehodein parbito, like a bath attendant, shehu mishatev et beis hamerchetz, he first scours the bath, v'achar kach merachetz banav shel melech, and then he washes the king's son. But the word v'achreichein implies a connection between item A and item B that follows, indicating that A is the cause for B. If there's no connection, then the Torah uses the word v'achar. Achreichein implies some sort of nexus, some sort of connection between the two. So my Rebbe Nissen Albert said the following, and this is a tremendous chiddush, but I think it's an unbelievable chiddush, which is, I see it literally coming to reality right in front of me. The world of Esav had a multiplicity of deities, many, many gods. Yaakov, of course, as his father and grandfather before him, what was their task? To spread the idea of monotheism, the notion of Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. So the struggle of Yaakov and Esav, and my Rebbe, is the microcosm of the historical period during the second Beis Hamikdash. If you remember, what happened? When did Yeshu come to the fore around that period of time? Yeshu, you know who that is. And when Christianity, basically, initially, they engulfed the entire world. They emerged, and the moment they emerged, they attempted to basically utilize force as a means of propagating its faith with the masses. Those who study history are certainly aware of it. By the way, there's another religious movement that's doing that today. you may be slightly aware of whom they are. But what happened at the very beginning, at the dawn of Christianity, that's what happened, that's what they were doing. And they essentially put together a theology which is called the Antinomian. They undermined the observance of mitzvahs, but they still believed in God as an axiom. They took the Old Testament, supplanted it with the New Testament, and Christianity became, if you will, the purest form of Avodah Zarah. Christianity, as you know, is Avodah Zarah. But what did they supplant? They supplanted pagan cults and others that were in their sweep. And before Judaism could achieve its goals, it had to be preceded by Catholicism that paved the way. My Rebbe said that's what the Medrash means. Just like Esav paved the way for Yaakov to emerge. And then my Rebbe quoted the following Rambam, which of course is the uncensored edition of the Rambam that you will not find in Hilchos Melachim. I want to read to you this Rambam, Hilchos Melachim, that was censored. This is now reading the uncensored edition. It's not found in our Rambams, unless you look at the Frankel Rambam. He, of course, uncovered it. Says the Rambam, Af HaNotzri, this Christian, Shedima Shehoya Mashiach, he thought he was the Messiah. Who are we talking about? Correct. Nerag Bebezdin, he was executed by a court of law. Kvarnis Nabubo Daniel, he's already prophesied about in Sefer Daniel. And the Rambam quotes a pasuk that he understood that this pasuk is referring to him. And then, says the Rambam, I'm skipping a little bit, Avo, Machshivo Bari Olam, the thoughts of Hashem, Ein Koch Bodom Vasil, we can't understand how Hashem operates. Kilod Drachenu Drachav, V'lo Machshivo Seinu Machshivo Sav, his thoughts aren't our thoughts, his ways aren't our ways, continues the Rambam. V'chol Hadvarim Ha'elu, the Rambam says, all these words, and the Rambam now refers to these two gentlemen that I shall mention, the two words of these two individuals, namely, the Christian, Yeshu, v'shalzeh Yishmaeli, Muhammad, means the Christian and the Muslim who followed him, what is their function? They are paving the road for Mashiach. And the Rambam quotes a pasuk, and that's essentially what happened. Here's the way the Seder HaDvarim is. First, paganism. There's the Rambam, pagan religions, multiplicity of deities. Then followed by Catholicism, followed by Islam. And at the end of the day, who's going to reign supreme? Judaism. So the Rambam says. Now you know why this Rambam was censored by many, shall we say, who did not appreciate what the Rambam said. But basically what happened was, Catholicism accomplished a lot. It paved the way for the authentic Mashiach to be recognized. Because Catholicism was also Avodah Zarah, but before Avodah Zarah there was paganism, many, many different gods, Zoroastrianism, all kinds of god of light, god of darkness, and what have you. Came Catholicism, it's a pure form of Avodah Zarah, and then what happened subsequently? After Catholicism, Islam, which is monotheistic, and then finally Judaism, that's what Amram said, this is the Seder Advarim, the Seder of what? Of history, and of all the way leading to Mashiach. So now back to the Pasuk, where the Pasuk says, V'achrei chen. So in effect, what the Torah is telling us is that what? For the sake of Yaakov, Esav emerged first, and there's a conflict. But essentially, the birth of Yaakov and the birth of Esav represents this, shall we say, his historical continuum, which will of course lead ultimately to the coming of Mashiach. So when you look at that pasuk again, v'yado ochezet ba'kev Esav, if you look at Esav, you examine Esav for a moment, we've spoken about Esav before, that Esav is a mighty hunter. Rashi compares him based on the Medrash to a pig who shows one kosher sign, asks his father Shailus and Halacha, he has a lot of derech eretz for Kedusha, he had tremendous kibbut aveim, he lived in Eretz Yisrael, he could be overcome with remorse as we hear from the Torah when the pain and sorrow after the bracha was given to Yitzchak. So then Esav, of course, to Yaakov. So the Torah says, "Vayitzak tzaka gdola marad ma'od." He lets forth a bitter cry. He asks his father Yitzchak, "Bless me also." Now Esav tries to deceive people, but he has an appreciation for kedusha. He just doesn't want that kind of lifestyle. I don't need it for myself. I want to have a good time. But there's a constant struggle. And that's the pasuk. The other, Chesed Bakev Esav, describes the bloodstained hands and feet of Esav trying to trot upon Yaakov. Yaakov is clinging for dear life to the heels of Esav. So that ancient tug of war between Yaakov and Esav is still taking place today. It's the tug of war between the Malach Shel Esav and our father Yaakov. But my point is simply, Maisa Avos Simu Lebanim. See, all this is basically, we are just more or less shall we say, describing what's going to be eventually. And again, as I have spoken about in the past, Yaakov and Esav are clearly two totally antithetical personalities. And now I want to get to this week's parsha, because this week's parsha you have a massive change that takes place. And basically what I'm telling you now, here from my Rebbe, or Atzidok and Atapsu Zatzal, on a number of occasions, and it's really an amazing deal in the Pesukim. That's why I want you to look at the Pesukim carefully. What happens over here at the beginning of Vayishlach is something which is a very, very unusual. Till now, you'll notice, does Yaakov ever really confront his adversaries? Does Yaakov confront any nemesis of his, even starting from the very beginning? Namely, the first struggle that Yaakov has, if you will, his initial skirmish is with whom? With Esau. And, of course, with the context of the bracha. And what happens to Yaakov after Esav hates his guts, basically, after the end of Parshas Toldos? Look in page 64 for a second. Perek Chazayin, Pasuk Mem Aleph. After he receives the bracha, the Torah says very clearly, Pasuk Mem Aleph, Vayisam Esav es Yaakov, ala bracha sheberek ha'avi, vayom Esav b'libo, yikubi me'ev ha'avi, v'argos Yaakov v'achi. This is Esav, of course, the one who has great kibbut ha'vayim. He'll wait till his father dies before he kills Yaakov. So killing Yaakov is not a problem. But, of course, yes, keep it up, eh? And wait till his father dies. So, what happens? Rivka finds out what Esav said. She calls Yaakov, she tells him to do what? Run for your life. That's Pasuk Mem Gimel over there. Kum brachlecha alavi, elavan achicha rana. And Yaakov does not confront his adversary, his emissary, his nemesis, Bechlal. He basically runs for his life. As a matter of fact, the Pasuk in the Tanakh, in the Navi, expresses it better. Even though the beginning of Vayetze says, Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Shava, it sounds like he left of his own volition. That's not what happened. What does the Navi say? Vayibrach Yaakov Se'aron. He ran for his life. He's a fugitive. And he decides to split, as you would say, to basically leave the scene and go to his family, go to his relatives over there in Lavan. I continue. 20 years of the house of Lavan. Tell me. What did Lavan, how did Lavan treat Yaakov? How? Not well. That's the understatement of the year. As Yaakov himself describes, as a matter of fact, the description that Yaakov has in Leslie's Pasha is really quite, I would say, quite significant. Yaakov says to Laban that 20 years I've worked for you. And the way the Torah describes, look at the end of Vayetze. I'm just reading the Pesukim over here. On page 76, the top of 76. Ze'esim shana noki imach l'cheylecha v'yizecha lo shikelu. Perek lamad al pasal amakes. Ve'ilet son kolo acholti, Yaakov is a shepherd. Treifol lo yivetzi alecha, anochi achatena, miyodi tfakshena, ginu v'si yom, ginu v'si loyla. Next pasuk. Ha'yisi v'ayom achalani chore v'kach ba'loyla, v'atida shnasim eina. This pasuk is quoted by Rambam at the end of the Chiris. It's quoted by Chosha Mishpah, but Mechaber also. How did Yaakov work 24-7? He was a shepherd for the flock of Lavan. He worked irrespective of the climactic conditions. Achalani choreb v'kerach baloyla. Means whether it was freezing, correct? Kerach baloyla. Or, shall we say, whether the heat. Vatidach nosim einon. This pasuk always reminds me, I grew up in New York. And I used to, when I was waiting for the bus to go to yeshiva, as a student in day school, parochial school, what do they call it? Shiva Tana, elementary school. So I used to watch people working on the potholes in New York City. I used to get such hanor watching the people working on the potholes. Why? They would work for 5 minutes, they would take a coffee break for a half hour. Then they come back another 5 minutes, and then knock on all the coffee break for another half hour. I used to get a kick out of it. By the way, have you ever noticed those who live in New York City, that New York City has more potholes, according to my humble opinion? I drive there from time to time on the West Side Highway and the FDR Drive. Doesn't make a difference where you go. Full of potholes. Mole chorim. There's no shortage of potholes in New York City. And when you compare the state of affairs of the roads in New York City, it doesn't compare to anything in Eretz Yisrael. I have them with Alfie Abdel. See if they actually fix the roads. You don't see potholes in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't exist. They're constantly paving the roads. Somehow, they haven't gotten around to it because of all these kind of workers. Anyway, Yaakov Avinu, 24-7, worked for his father-in-law and didn't deceive him. Of course, he was underwent terrible deception for 20 years. So one would think that Yaakov Avinu, what would you do if you, 20 years, you were deceived, you were tricked, You were fooled. You were duped. What would you do? As I always say, I know what I would do. I would go ahead and confront Lavan with a pair of brass knuckles and take care of him. And I would go ahead, and then after that, I would, as I said, quarter him, and then deliver the 12 segments to all the Shiftei Yisrael. Even that's before Shiftei Yisrael, yeah. But the Chazal, he should have confronted him. He does not do so. It's amazing. What did you say, Ofer? Anyway, so you see that Yaakov Avinu has tremendous forbearance, unbelievable. So now we come to Vayishlach. And now I want to show you, that's what my Rebbe pointed out, a dramatic transformation in the modus operandi of Yaakov Avinu. A complete and total metamorphosis in his personality. Yaakov, the fugitive from Esav, finally confronts his adversary. And where does he confront his adversary first? So take a look in the, before the encounter with Esav, of course he encounters whom? The Malach Shel Esav, the Sar Shel Esav. And take a look now at the Pesukim over there. I'm starting to read from page 79. Hear that? Paraglam Abbeis, Pasuk Chafei. Vayivasi Yaakov Abado. Yaakov remains alone. Vayyavik Ish Imo Aramus Hashacha. A mysterious Ish. Somehow wrestled with Yaakov Avinu. Vayaki Lo Yacholo. He sees that he's not able to, shall we say, best him. Can't prevail over him. So the Torah says, what happened? And then the Torah continues, send me, ki ola ashocha. I have to go and say shira. That's the function of malachim. I want a bracha. What's your name? Yaakov. So look in there, Rashi comments here, famous Rashi. What's the difference between the two terms, Yaakov and Yisrael? Just as far as the Shoresh. The word Yaakov, what's the Shoresh of Yaakov from the word? Ekev, which means what? The heel. And what is the word Yisrael? What's the Shoresh of that word? Yashar Kel, the Abinel says. It's a combination, a composite of two words, Yashar Kel. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, Lo Yaakov, Lo Yomar Ocha, Brachos Bo Lecha, Be'ikva Rumiya. They will no longer say that the Brachos came how? Through deceit. Through trickery. Kiim Besraro Begilut Panim. But the brachos actually came directly. So we have a change in the name of Yaakov, which is very significant. But then, take a look further. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayikra Yaakov she'amaka p'niel, ki ra'isi elokim, panim el panim batinotzel nafshi. My Rebbe said that these three words are critical. He calls the word, he calls the spot p'niel. Why? Ki ra'isi elokim, panim el panim, batinotzel nafshi. Now, it's interesting that I didn't mention this before, but till now, Yaakov Avinu actually, whenever Hashem appears to him, he always appears to him in a vision of the night, in the Chalom. And right after this, we'll see that Hashem appears to Yaakov Avinu for the first time. He appears to him in a direct kind of way, and that itself is an indication of the fact that now, take a look in Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Aleph, I'll come back to this in a second. Vayom Elokim LaYaakov Kum Alei Beit Kel. Beis El, I should say, sorry. That go to Beit El, B'Shev Shav. The first time that Yaakov Avinu is confronted by Hashem in a direct way. Till now it was all the dream, all the chalom. There's no direct confrontation, but now Yaakov is changing his whole modus operandi. He confronted the Malach Shel Esav, and now I want to show you that how this theme is so clearly seen in the meeting between Yaakov and Esav. There's a meeting that takes place, and we know the Torah then describes the meeting, which is also quite significant. However, there's a pasuk that the Torah actually uses here, which you mentioned right before. When Yaakov instructs the emissaries, look what he tells them. Perek Lamed Beis, page 79. Look at Perek Lamed Beis, pasuk Kaf Aleph. And this pasuk already gives a hint. In general, whenever you examine the Torah or Tanakh, you have to examine the language very carefully. The syntax is critical. It often gives you tremendous hints to what's going on. Look at pasuk Kaf Aleph, Perek Lamed Beis. Yaakov is instructing the Malachim they're going to meet Esav. He's telling them what to do. And the pasuk about the following statement is made. Yaakov says, "Va'amartem, you should say, Gam hinei abdecha Yaakov acharenu, I'm behind you. Ki omar, Yaakov said, and here translate this pasuk, Achapra ponov, I will appease him. Va'mincho ha'olecha soponov, with the present that's going before me. Yaakov sent presents to Esav. V'yachrechein era ponov, then I'll see his face. Ula yisaponi, maybe he will, what? Maybe he will, shall we say, be accepting of me. There's a word here that's repeated many times. Which word is that? the word panah, or the word panim. So that itself is an indication that Yaakov Avinu was now about to have a panim, al panim encounter. And that was a direct kind of encounter. Till now, as I said, Yaakov Avinu, what kind of approach did he take with Esav, or with Laban, and with all the people he skirmished with? He ran for his life. And now the Torah says, Yaakov decided to change his entire modus operandi. Now Yaakov Avinu is going to confront his nemesis, going to confront his adversary, and therefore this is a massive metamorphosis in the life of Yaakov Avinu and his personality. He was a Jew who evaded confrontation, and now he learned to grapple directly with his adversaries. And that's why you see also, a bit later, that the Torah actually says, the passage that I read before, that Yaakov in the struggle with the Malach, he says, Ki al kein ra'isi fanefa, ki ros p'nei alokim b'tirtzeini. And as Yaakov Avinu is now confronting his adversary in a very direct kind of way. There's a very fascinating Ramban. Ramban comments actually, when Yaakov has the struggle with the Malach Shal Esav, by the way, of all the Rishonim, most Rishonim understand that Pasha literally, with the exception of whom? Of the Rambam. Of course, the Rambam cannot fathom that a person is having a wrestling match with a Malach, who's obviously a disembodied kind of figure. So the Rambam could possibly fathom such a thing. So he interprets that as being, of course, a dream, a chalom. Of course, the end question is, so why is Yaakov limping? So the Abamanel answered the Kasha. The Abamanel said, because what happened? Often, things that happen to a person have an effect on their physical self. What's that called in English? There's a word. The word has escaped me right now, which is not good. Gilly, what's the word that describes when events that occur psychologically have a physical impact? What? Psychosomatic. That's what the Abravanel says. The Abravanel says it to defend the Rambam. Because otherwise, why is he limping? So the answer is psychosomatic. You hear that? So the Abravanel, by the way, already, when did he live, the Abravanel? Hundreds and hundreds of years ago. He's one of the Dali Rishonim. I think he lived in the 1300s. Now, I just met the other day in my shul about 4 or 5 days ago, a fellow who's translating the Abravanel to English. I met him, and I couldn't stop hugging him. Translating the Abravanel to English, you know what that's like? The most extensive commentary on the Torah. There's no question, I didn't do a Google search, but I'm sure if you do. Who wrote more words on the Torah and Tanakh than any other Parshan that ever lived? The Abravanel. That's why no one studies it. Poor fellow. Another problem that he has is that he presents usually in his every introduction to every parsha 100 questions up front, and then he writes an essay of 25 pages, and you have to find the answers to the questions. Not so user friendly. So this fellow was translating Abravanel to English. I met him. I was absolutely fell in love with the fellow very quickly. He's not here, Ellie. Ellie Fuchs. He's my man. So anyway, why am I saying this? So Yaakov Avinu has a struggle with the Malach. Take a look at the Pasuk. I'm reading it over here on page 79. Pasuk Chafei. Vayivasa Yaakov Avinu. Vayivobek Ishim Aralos HaShachar. What does he mean, Vayivobek? He had a wrestling match. This is the marker for wrestling matches in the Torah. Found right over here. So they believe in wrestling. There is a wrestling match with the Malach Shal Esav. Chazal, see the letter Aleph, Ramban quotes this. Which letter undergoes metathesis with Aleph in Hebrew? That is to say, Otiyot Mitchalpot, as they say in simple English. Namely, the two letters interchange, Chet. So the Ramban reads the Pasuk, Vayechovek Ishimo, or Vayechovek Ishimo. The fact is that Yaakov is the prototypical Golos Jew has to combat Esav on two fronts. Vayayavek, an outright attempt to destroy us, to exterminate us. But then there's a second effort that sometimes the Goyim utilize. What is that? Vayayachavek means to what? Hug. They try to sabotage our identity through assimilation, acculturation. By the way, the Beis HaLevi, this is Pasha, sees this idea in another pasuk. Do you remember when Yaakov Avinu is davening to Hashem And what does he say to Hashem? He asks Hashem, save me. Pasuk Yud Beis on page 78. Lamed Beis Yud Beis. Hatzileni no, miyad ochi, miyad esa. Yes, the Beis Halevi. Beis Halevi is the great-grandfather of Moreinu Rabbeinu, Maran Harav Zatzal, Harav Soloveitchik. So he says, why does the Torah use a double language? Hatzileni no, save me. Miyad ochi, miyad esa. So the answer, of course, is that Esav has two approaches to call Yisrael. One is, he's my brother, correct? And I want to hug him. I want to kiss him. I love him dearly. And therefore, let me go ahead and my mores, my values, my, shall we say, ideology should be given to over to Yaakov Avinu. That's one approach. The other one is Esav, who tries to just destroy us outright. So you have here both, I mentioned, there's a Netziv, I believe, also. You remember the Netziv? In his Agoda, we say in the Hallel, Sabuni Gam Sevabuni. What are those two things? So it's the same idea. There are two approaches the Goyim have to us. Either they win us over by assimilation, by acculturation. We'll adopt their mores, we'll adopt their values, we'll basically do whatever they do, as opposed to doing what we're supposed to do. And the other approach, of course, is namely outright destruction. Simply go ahead and eliminate, eviscerate, expunge, you clog yourself from the world. So you see this idea is mentioned over here all over the place anyway. But according to the Medrash, you know what the Medrash says over here? Rashi quotes it. That Rashi says, Esav attempted to bite him. And what happened to Yaakov's neck? It was hardened. Because Yaakov developed the quality which Am Yisrael is characterized with. What quality is that? We are Am Kishay Oref. That's where it comes from. This idea. So therefore, the point being that Yaakov Avinu completely undergoes a massive transformation, metamorphosis over here. Till now, heretofore, he had not confronted his adversary. You see what I'm saying? And Yaakov Avinu, a total change in his personality. As a matter of fact, Lefian Yuzdaiki, it seems to me that there's another Pasha that's found in this week's Pasha, which would have been impossible without this incredible transformation. What Pasha am I talking about? The saga of Yaakov Avinu and his children where? In the city of Shem. Could never have happened. Excellent. Could not have happened. And the way they were able to confront Shem is the way Klal Yisrael has emerged. Maisa Avos Simon Lebanim. There are different aspects to Yaakov Avinu. Could be one aspect is Yaakov, one aspect is Yisrael. Oh, we have here people who learn Maseches Brachos. That makes it much easier. You are an expert in Maseches Brachos, are you not? The Gemara at the end of the first parak. I have to quote brachas in every shiur because of my Rebbe, Rabbi Goldschmidt. Anyway, so the what does the Gemara say about the difference between the names Yaakov and Yisrael and the name Abram and Abraham? What was that? What daf is it on? Where does the second parak begin on daf?
First, his name is his father.
Oh, did you get this out? That's not. Okay. I apologize. Love to say that.
First is the father of like just his.
Correct.
His area.
The Gemara says the Kalakuri, the Avraham over Basay. You call Avraham by his former name, Avraham, you're over in Asay. We say it every morning. Ata Hashem Elokim Hashem Bacharta be Avraham. Vehotzeisim Yerukazdim Nisamta Shemo Avraham. Once that name was changed, that's it. It's over. You can't go back. What about Yaakov and Yisrael? In Tanakh, do we find the names Yaakov and Yisrael? Here his name is changed. Hashem says, Lo Yaakov Yomer Shimcha Kiyim Yisrael. And yet, are the names still used interchangeably throughout Tanakh? Yes. The answer is yes. So the Gemara says over there, both names can be used. Now, what exactly is Yaakov referring to? What Yisrael refers to? So this is a subject of a PhD thesis that you could easily write. Maybe you'll write that thesis. And the names Yaakov and Yisrael, all the different theories that the Farshim have, when one is used, when the other is used. But one thing one could certainly say, that the name Yaakov, as we said earlier, is a name that represents not a straight kind of approach. Correct? Mashenka, the name Yisrael is a more straight kind of approach. And therefore, I'm just indicating over here, the change of Yaakov's name to Yisrael denotes a change from Ikva to Yashav Kael, and that's why here, the Torah tells us that Hashem appears to Yaakov directly after this incident and tells him, your name is going to be changed. Lo Yomer, if you take a look at that pasuk that I'm referring to, in Perek, page 80. I'm sorry, I have to use the English pagination here. Perek, Lamed Beis. Pasuk Chavtes. Vayomer lo Yaakov yomer ot shimcha, ki im Yisrael. After the Malach changed his name. And then the Torah tells us that right after that, Hashem appears to Yaakov Avinu. As I said, this is the first time Hashem appears to Yaakov, where heretofore he had not appeared to him directly, but always in the Nevuah, always in the Chalom. So what do you see from all this? Hayotzi Nikol Vareinu, that you see the following. That there are two aspects to Yaakov Avinu. Maisa Avasim Lebanim. Sometimes we have to use the aspect of Yaakov. We have to go ahead and approach our enemies with what's called in Hebrew, Shtadlanut. We have to try to bribe them. We have to try to, shall we say, appease them, reconcile with them. That's what the Chazal say, L'dorum. And sometimes that doesn't work. We have to daven to Hashem. And sometimes we have to engage in Milchama. And that's exactly what's happening. Those who are following, which I'm sure you are, the ongoing saga of Am Yisrael here in Eretz Yisrael, in the state of Israel, and the mind-boggling to me, the anti-Semitism of the world at large. Even what happened just recently, you're aware, European countries, there was a massive storm in Germany that just decided, thank God, to change their tune regarding the, quote-unquote, the identifying of food items that come from the other side of the green line. Ki'ilu, the entire world is in total peace. Everything is hunky-dory. Halcyon days. We could just sit back and play the guitar and with our flip-flops. And while we are drinking some, whatever you drink, what do you drink? I should ask. Anyway, but I don't mean you individually, collectively. The kids are... The only problem that exists is what? The food items that are grown on the other side of the green line? And that's what we have to worry about. Nothing's happening in the world. Syria is quiet. Ah, so beautiful. Only 250,000 people killed and decimated by Assad. What a wonderful fellow. But otherwise, they're all sitting quietly. All the refugees that are coming out of there, you know how they're coming out? Each one is singing. Singing. Shirei Simcha. The only problem that exists in the world are the state of Israel products that are grown on the other side of the green line. There's no other problem. Nothing in Syria, nothing in Iraq, nothing in Afghanistan, nothing in Lebanon, nothing in, where else? Where? Jordan? Jordan's a minor problem, the Hashemite kingdom. But I'm talking about there are some major problems taking place in the world. Amazing. What a world. Anti-Semitism writ large, but it's all the Mafteach for the coming of Mashiach. I see it right in front of me. And I'm not a Kabbalist, I'm a terrible Litvak. And also, to me there's no question that literally Mashiach is on his way. And anyway, I heard this from Eli Fuchs, he told me, so therefore, unquestionably, said the name of Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I'm going to Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, but I don't think you need Rav Chaim Kanievsky. You just take a look at what's happened in the last 40 years in Jewish history, and in the Middle East, and the world in general, mind-boggling. A whole city of Brussels, literally, shut down. I can't even deal with it. You, who come from England, Zach, you're the only one here has appreciation of what we're talking about. These Americans, they're, with all due respect, a little wet behind the ears. But the point being, Europeans have a sense of a city shut down for 3 days, the entire city, armed convoys of soldiers, no one's going to school, no stores are open, no banks are open. Why? Threat of terrorism. Baruch Hashem and Eretz Yisrael, even though we, unfortunately, are still under the attack of terrorists who would like to intimidate us and completely destroy us if they could, it's not going to happen. Another poshut. Netzach, Ribono Shalom, Netzach Yisrael, Bo Yishaker. That emunah is so strong in me, and I see it more and more. Alavai Be'ez Hashem, we should be zocheh. The Mashiach Sikhena Bakar of Mary.